the fans, by the fans. This is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Buell, back once again with the good, the bad, and the ugly of Non-League Football. Unfortunately, cold, technology, and general malaise mean that you have me alone this week, but a veritable selection box of co-hosts awaits next week. In the meantime, plenty of stuff to get through this week. My Quirk of Fate 2 interviewees from Step 5 Spartan South Midlands League clubs, including the highest placed female head coach. There's also a Woken's Eye view of the FA Cup, and Alex Neri, editor of the non-league paper, run through some of the news of the week. Plenty to talk about. Okay, let's get things underway. Now, we spoke FA Vars last weekend with Matt Cusack down at Saltash United, but unfortunately the weather hit that game and many others, with matches rescheduled for this weekend. In addition, a number of games need a replay, including Dave Anderson's Chertsey Town, and our next guest. His side actually play their third round replay this weekend against the very side that they were due to face in the league. To tell us more, welcome to the show, Dave Norfield, manager at Biggleswade FC.
Hi there.
Hi, mate. Now, I say... You were due to be meeting the same league opposition. Tring Athletic, I believe, the side that you're facing this weekend anyway.
Yeah, we were due. We've had some real quirks this season. So the situation, we've moved again. We were due to play them, obviously, last Saturday in the Vars, this week in the league. And we were also due to have played them in the Premier Cup semi-final the following week. It was kind of crazy. It was going to turn on stop. So we arranged to move that on to January. But yeah, this is taking the place of the league game this week. Replay takes the place of the league game.
And obviously the last 64, and there's, I think, £1,125 in the coffers for the winners, the £375 for the losers. What does it mean for a club as embryonic as yours to do well in this competition?
The money, the rewards from it in terms of, you know, the money just seems massive to us, because we ground share with Biggleswade Town, we're tenants, we have to pay our rent. So I said it in the last round, we get that money, it's a month or two's, or it's a month and a bit's money. It takes a lot of pressure when you're trying to raise money week in, week out, to suddenly get that, you know, a little bit of income coming in one lump. It's fantastic. We had one win in the FA Cup this year. We've had one Vars win, so it's so important to us. And we will, for obvious reasons, we want the prestige of winning the game for that. But the truth is, it secures our future.
Now, for those that don't know, that, you know, your club, Biggleswade FC, was formed only in 2016, I believe, originally from the Biggleswade Town under 16 side at the time. Yeah. Why and how did that all come about?
Which is, again, We were under the banner of Biggleswade Town under 18s, had two good seasons. Biggleswade Town didn't want a reserve side, you know, so we didn't want to let the side fall apart at the time. We didn't want the boys to disappear. So we just made the decision to, again, Biggleswade were more than happy for us to ground share. They offered us, to be fair, the first year deal was fantastic for us. So we decided to give it a go. We applied from the FA to go into Step 6, and after being turned down originally, we appealed and got given Step 6. And so the ground and the facilities give us an opportunity to be able to go through, in theory, step-up leagues, because the facilities are that standard. They're obviously minimum Step 3, because which is the league Biggleswade Town are playing. So it's hard. It's hard to, you know, to generate the money, but we're also, teams come to us and they're getting fantastic facilities. So it's brilliant for our lads.
And you were accepted into that Spartan South Midlands League Division 1, you know, and then won that immediately, and you're now topping the Premier Division there. How far do you think you can go?
Look, in truth, you'll never get the big head or anything or over confident. We're there at the moment. Obviously, we're there. We deserve to be there. But I'm very honest about it. We We don't pay any money. We're working. We work really hard. The sides. It's a good side that they all want to be there. We try and do things right. Can we go higher? Look, we're in pole position. So the answer is, we might be able to achieve promotion this year. It'd be fantastic if we did. But we're so far away from it at the moment. So, you know, we've had a little blip. Thankfully, it was in cup matches. But we're not daft. We could go on a 2 or 3 game run and get beat in those games, and things can change around. It's nice being where we are now. Could we go higher? I'd like to think that we've got players that are good enough to play higher. That's what we feel. We've had a lot of teams from higher levels coming after our players this season. One of the sides we played earlier in the FA Cup, some of them have come in for a couple of lads. They've decided not to go. So we think we've got players that can play a higher level. I'm convinced we could play at step 4, but as you've had these interviews many times, to get from step 5 to step 4 is such a jump to win. To win a league, we've got to come first. Runners up don't get promoted, so it's an awful lot of pressure. But are we capable of playing level up? I think we would be. I'd be brave enough to say that.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you play your games at Biggleswade Town, but you're very different clubs, and you've got your own first and reserve teams, I believe. But is there plans to expand the club beyond that?
At this present stage, no, because it'd be wonderful to be like a Biggleswade Town and a Biggleswade United and the youth setups and things like that. But we're pleased where we are at this present stage. We like to think that we could be a step for the Biggleswade Town youth lads as they get older. Their dream would be to be playing for Biggleswade Town first team, but to go from a youth setup to a step 3 is massive. So there's an opportunity within Biggleswade now itself for those players to go steps, hopefully step 7, step 5, hopefully step 4. And then step brings way through the way town going at the present stage could be step 2. So it gives them an opportunity to get to that level, probably the right way, because there's nothing more, as an 18-year-old, you can be a very good 18-year-old. For them to be able to jump into Lee's side at this present stage, you'd need to be something that's special. And he's got an under 18 players that have come through his academy, and they're finding it difficult because of the standards. So it will always be difficult to make that step. But we like to feel that with our reserves, and we're pushing Biggleswade boys through our reserve side at its present stage. I'm actually involved with Biggleswade Town under 16. So, I'm driving them forward, and we'd like to think that one or two of those can get a few minutes playing this season for the reserves. That's where we like to feel we are.
Mm. We spoke with Lee Allenson from Biggleswade Town a few weeks back, and as you say, they're doing very well. But obviously, the town also hosts Biggleswade United. Can one town cope with 3 senior non-league sides?
It is at the moment. I think if you're really honest at this present stage, Biggleswade Town they're a real high level. So Lee brings players in from wherever he needs to get his side to the level they are. And they're a very, very good side this year. Chris Nunn did it previously. Probably for the first time in a long time, there are some Biggleswade lads that are pushing to see if they can achieve and be playing at that level. But up until that point, there wasn't that choice to pick from. Biggleswade United, once Guillaume Balladay got involved, probably spread their net a little wide as well. So, if you like, it's probably allowed us a little niche in between them both. And, we've got our side full of a lot of local boys. We've got one or two Stevens, one or two St. Neots, but Sandy and surrounding areas, a lot of our players come from an area. So maybe it's present stage, we've just filled a void. I mean, people's way it's growing is, I think it's 20,000 houses going up, so it's almost like a new town going. So it'll be a big size, but at this present stage, Biggleswade United are going great guns behind us. They're on a fantastic run, so they've got their side right. We're on a good run. People's like Cheltenham are on a good run, and our reserves are on a good run. So they've improved beyond belief. So, you know, at this present stage, the answer is yeah. You could probably say that about the youth setups. Biggles Wade Town have got God knows how many teams, and I think Biggles Wade United are in the same boat. You know, they're in the teams, and I would suggest Biggles Wade Town are. So it is as a town, it's coping with all these youngsters wanting to play football.
And success, I guess, in the FA Vars might even widen your net as well. A win. Have you had a chance to think about that one?
We'd be at home, which would be bonus. Yeah, but I don't. There's no point. There's no point me looking at Stonemarket one last night. There's no point me looking because we're not in that game yet. We have to, you know, the biggest concern at the present stage is Saturday with Tring, who are an outstanding side, to be fair to them. And if we can come through that, I mean, that we celebrated Saturday like it was a victory because we've come down to 10 men after 60 minutes and we've played another 60 minutes with 10 men. So clearly we were overjoyed to still be in the hat for the next round, to stay into it, playing against the 11. And we've got home advantage. We have a great opportunity. I won't be any more confident than that because they're a very, very good side. You know, so I'll look at Stoke. If we can get a win Saturday, then trust me, I'll be travelling across the Stone Market to watch him.
Good man. And obviously, yeah, we mentioned that Tring are second in division. Is it quite nice to know that at least you're not losing ground to league rivals while you're in cup action?
Yes. I guess it is. And again, Crawley Green done us a great turn in the week because, or was it in the week or last weekend? Because I think Hadley could have joined us at the top. And Crawley Green beat them. So, yeah, they've got both ourselves and Tring's backs for a week. But, yeah, that will get caught again this weekend. I guess Hadley will get a result. And I've not done their playing, but they're a good side. And Biggles Wade United again on such a run. So the gaps are all closed. But, you know, there's nothing we can't do anything about it. We can't change it. We will sit there with them games in hand, as Tring will. But There's nothing we can do to change it. It's kind of, and we don't have a midweek game this month either. We've got a couple of the three league games, and then into the new year. So, yeah, it's that. Thank you, Crawley Green, out of back this weekend or last weekend. So,
and there's been we've spoken to a number of clubs from Step 5 this year, and there's been much debate as to whether, you know, all the changes last year is whether that's diluted Step 4, but there certainly seems to be strength in Step 5 like never before.
I think so, yeah. I managed in it years and years ago, and this year is no different. It's a strong league. It was a very strong league last year, and if you want to dig it up, I think Burke Hampstead and Welland Garden are both top half a dozen, I think, of Step 4, so they're going great guns. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to tell you what the difference between the two leagues are, and I don't really know. But I think it was needed, if I'm honest with you. I think they definitely need to bring them leagues in. And I like now that teams have got to get, you know, if you win your league, you have to get promoted. You can't hide away from it. Rather, you know, be no point if we were, or take us out of it. But if the side was so strong, they won it this year, didn't go up right next year. I don't get that. There's no point in that. You know, we're in that same boat. Are we ready for promotion? Probably not. But you'll get one rare chance to do it, and if we were to achieve it this year, we have to take it, and we have to see how we go and have another go, don't we? But I think the step ball was needed. I think the sides up there are strong. I know when we played Peterborough Sports in the Vars a few years ago, they're a good side. Wellington are a good side. Burke Hampstead are a good side. You know, there's some strong sides up there, very strong.
And one of those strong sides is yourself. And so we wish you well at the weekend, Dave, and we'll be following your progress, well, both of the side and as a club as well, and hopefully speak to you again soon.
It'll be a pleasure. Thanks very much.
Now, we like to celebrate where non-league leads and creates new trends in a beautiful game. Now, as a dad of three girls, I've lost count of the number of times people have said to me, as a football mad dad, I must be disappointed not to have a boy to take along to games. The answer is always never. Couldn't be prouder. Even if taking them to non-league games just when they were a few weeks old does appear to have driven them into the arms of the more creative arts and football. Now, over the 2 decades plus that I've been involved in non-league football, the number of female faces in the crowd and even in the boardroom has increased, but it's still far short from representative, whilst on the playing side, it is far rarer still. So I was very excited to hear from Matt Endersby, new manager alongside James Hatch at Arsley Town since June. When looking for a new head coach to work with them, they only had one choice and rang Natasha Orchard-Smith, as I have this evening. And welcome, Natasha, to the Non-League Football Show.
Hello, good evening.
Well, thanks for joining us. Now, so I presume you knew Matt and James before they took on the role at Arsley for them to call you.
To be fair, I hadn't come across James before. I'd come across the name, but not the actual person. But Matt, I had done, and his brother as well. So, yes, I'd come across them.
And unless our audience can tell us different, I believe at step five, where you're operating at the moment with Arsley, you appear to be the highest placed female head coach in the non-league pyramid. Now, that's good for you, but it doesn't have a great ring about it for football.
It's good for me, as you said, yeah. But no football, but that, unfortunately, I think is just part of football, I think. As a coach, you just have an opportunity if and when it comes, and you take it with both hands. So, and that's what I had the opportunity to do. So,
why do you think, though, that you're such a rarity?
I think it's just a very male-dominated sport, in the sense of, A, the football, but also the coaching side of things. I coached my son's team for 10 years in grassroots, and I came across, during that period, one other female that coached. So it's not a massively female, a massive female area for coaching, very male.
Yeah. Now you've got plenty of experience. I mean, you're coaching a CV is longer than most that I see, and I get sent plenty of those during the week. You've coached, managed teams. You've worked as an FA skills coach in Bedfordshire. You got your own coaching business. I know you're very busy with that. Various badges, UEFA B, goalkeeping badges, and as well as all the know-how with a degree in coaching and performance. Is that the easy part? Is it the practical barrier, just that prejudice of someone just making that next step and taking on a female coach?
I think very much so. I think sometimes it's easy to play safe. I mean, I was previously at Arsenal Regional Talent Centre before last season, and which I was intended to probably be there this season. Well, I was intended to be there this season, but this opportunity came along and I was like, do I stay? Do I go? I'd like to have the opportunity to try, because for me, it's more around what are they going to think of me? Not what I what I can do. It's more around how will they take to me. Will it be okay? Will they get on with me? That was more my worry more than anything else. So I took a plunge and I went for it, and I don't regret it at all.
Yeah, were there like serious reservations when as to whether you should plump for that job? Because obviously you had a nice job lined up there in being involved with the Arsenal setup, but. Did you have to think long about it before you took up the role?
I did. I think it was probably more my thoughts and my thinking as around to whether I would be able to do it, whether they'd like me, whether they'd get on, whether it'd be the right opportunity, more than anything else. You know, I spoke to quite a lot of people before making the decision. I didn't rush into it. It did take me a while. But as I said, looking back now, I'm really glad that I did take that opportunity.
Yeah, and we all know about how banter-driven dressing rooms are. Did you get the obvious remarks when you first came in from the players?
You know what? I think they've been really good to me. I think I've got off quite lightly, to be fair, so far. It's been a big change for me, because obviously I'm very much used to the younger players, 5 to 11s predominantly, and up to under 18s. But to work with men is completely different. Certain sides of it that it is different, but for me also as well, not around development, but around the more looking for the 3 points on a Saturday is a big vital part of that. So it's been a massive curve and a learning curve for me, but one that I've kind of been really grateful that I've had the opportunity to do.
Yeah, no, we're lucky that we speak to coaches, you know, week in, week out from all different levels and all different things. And certainly for people that have moved from development into first team coaching, It's that it's as you say, that 3 points. It's that camaraderie. Is that can a win change your Saturday evening outlook? Are you one of these that sulks on a Saturday evening if you've not got the result you wanted?
No, I think it's more around what could we have done better. What should we have done better? How could we have played the game differently, tactically and technically? But no, I don't think it really spoils my Saturday night. Isn't much time left in my week to want to spoil, if that makes sense, because it's literally football for me pretty much 24/7 at the moment. So
I joked last week about managers perhaps falling asleep rather than watching Match of the Day on a Saturday night because Saturday's so draining. You probably don't look forward to Match of the Day either. It's probably the one time in your week that's a bit of downtime, isn't it?
Yeah, and especially being a Spurs supporter, I didn't really want to look at that this week. So
I feel your pain.
Thank you.
Now, what about you going in and now getting some recognition as being this lone female trailblazing? And has it been a learning curve for you, but also for other people within the club?
I think so. But I'm part of a team, if that makes sense. So for me, it's around how we work together. And we bounce off of each other. So me, James, Matt and Graham and Keith are a big part of that team. So we all work together. I do a lot of most of the coaching. So for me, it is, as a part of a team.
Yeah, you said you got involved because of with your son's side. And how did you get involved into moving into coaching further?
I worked with his team, then I kind of went on to do the school team, then I approached a local organisation to do a few hours coaching from them, and then the job for the FA come up with the skills programme, and then that finished, and I started my own business with my business partner, and then it's just been that development, and then obviously I've done my degree, but it's all around like learning at the right time, when you're ready and hungry for the next learning part. It wasn't a case of that I wanted to collect this and that. I think it's just around developing and then just as a coach myself.
Yeah, and if there are other female coaches listening, there will be, because we've got quite a high percentage of a female audience, which is always a good thing. Have you got any advice for them trying to get ahead in the coaching game?
Just get out there and try it. Link up with teams. Can you go and watch? Can you go on and maybe go on to do your level one? I tutor the level ones as well for the FA. So get on your level one and get a bug for it. And then can you then, develop, go and work with the team and just do it. Don't be frightened to. Don't think, oh, it's not for me or it's not because I'm female that I can't do that. Yes, you can. If you love it and you want to, you'll achieve what you can.
And what about advice for managers or chairmen in particular who perhaps haven't considered female coaches or managers before?
Give it a go. Give it a go. Don't, don't say that you can't. You can. And, hopefully now, because of what's happened now, is that opportunities will come around that people will now take that chance. I mean, I'm just very lucky that Arsie gave me the chance. And Matt and, James have given me this opportunity. And, I'm going to just make the most of it and just enjoy every minute of it, which I am doing. So, but I say I'm very grateful for them for the opportunity.
Yeah, well, it appears to be paying off for them as well. Also in the Spartan South Midlands League Premier, off the top spot in fourth at the moment. What's the long-term aim for the club and for you?
For the club is to build, to grow, and obviously look for promotion if we can get that this season. If not, strengthen the squad. And then take it further for next season. And obviously then always looking to challenge for the title. And that's what we will try this season. I think it's a long season. It's for anyone who wants to take it this year. And that's what we will certainly try to do.
Natasha, it's been fantastic talking to you. I love the story. As soon as Matt contacted me via Twitter, I knew that we had to follow it. And now you've become like this media star as well. So hopefully that will encourage more people to get involved as well and learn about your story and follow you.
Bless you. Thank you very much. And thank you for your time. Very much appreciated. Thank you.
So we couldn't let the week go without celebrating with some of the fans the magic of the FA Cup. The big result of the weekend in the second round was Woking's win at Swindon Town, and then the plum third round draw of Watford heading to Kingfield in the new year. Now, what does that mean to the fans of Woking FC? Let's find out from Andrew Jolly, head of Radio Woking Sport. Good evening, Andrew.
Good evening, Tim.
Now, I'll be honest, and I think I said the same on last week's show, of all the potential second round cup sets, I thought the result for Woking at Swindon was probably the least likely. Were those close to the club more confident than me?
Well, it was an interesting one, isn't it? Because we host a show every Saturday on Radio Woking. And we were building up to the game. We had an FA Cup special. And we were speaking to lots of fans on the way to the game, or preparing for the game the next day and what have you. And interestingly, they were quite optimistic. They were saying, you know, I think we've got a chance here. I think we can beat Swindon. Swindon have lost to non-league teams, I think, four times in the last 6 or 7 years or so. And they fancied it. They thought it might happen. I wasn't so sure, actually. I thought, oh, I don't know, you know, League Two sides, two leagues above, they're full-time, working a part-time. I wasn't sure. But actually, interestingly, the fans were quite optimistic.
Well, optimism sometimes goes a long way. So how did it all unfold at Swindon?
Yeah, well, Swindon, first off, was quite, I guess, cagey affair. Swindon, I guess, they dominated in periods. But in the second half, Woking came out kind of attacked. They said at half-time, they spoke to us afterwards, they said, you know, we've got one shot at this with 45 minutes. Let's make it count. And 10 minutes after the restart of the second half, they scored a great header. And it was kind of after that, Woking defended, and they held their line, held everything to the end, and it was a really good day out for Woking.
I'd imagine it was a fantastic day out. And then you had the post-match interviews with our old friend of the show, Alan Dowson. And now he's hard to follow at the best of times, so I'm guessing an overexcited Alan may have made for some interesting radio.
Yes, he was very, very excited. It was difficult to understand at times, it was difficult to understand, but quite clearly he was over the moon. He was delighted. No, he hasn't been this far in the FA Cup as a manager before. And it meant the whole world to him.
Yeah, now there's always the hope and a good chance of drawing a big club and a club coming to visit when you make that third round. But given the proximity, etc., yeah, Watford is probably one of the best draws that Woking could have hoped for.
Yeah, Watford at home is a great draw for Woking. It's going to be a packed up stadium, 6,000 fans there, maybe slightly few more. They can get extra fans into the ground in many ways, and a Premier League side at home of Woking. It's amazing. They play Woking in, they've played Watford, sorry, in friendly games and what have you, but a national Premier League side in the FA Cup at home for Woking, it's an unbelievable tie.
And the FA Cup is fantastic because it just adds to the enthusiasm about the club in the local area, and you know, fans that maybe haven't been along for a few years start drifting back, and it just makes everything great for the club. But obviously the FA Cup isn't the only thing this season, and we spoke with Alan back in the early part of the summer when he had not long been in the job, but he's really settled in well there.
Yes, he has. Yeah, obviously last season Woking got relegated from the National League Premier to Limerick the Upshot, and he was let go a few games before the end of the season. Woking went down. They National League South now, obviously part-time club, and they needed someone like Alan Dowson to come in with experience at that level, and he has done so well in the early stages. Woking sit third in the league right now, 2 points off top, and they've got two games in hand of Torquay, who are above them in top position. Still in the FA Cup, obviously, still in the FA Trophy as well, and going so well in the league. It's been a fantastic start to Alan Dowson's career at Woking.
Yeah, and you say you know, back to the league action this weekend. You mentioned Torquay United there that were top, but they've got the Cards have got those games in hand over them. Torquay United playing Welling this weekend, a second. So there's a chance with a trip for Woking down at struggling Western Supermare to apply some further pressure at the top of the National South there.
Well, yeah, this is when it really counts, isn't it? Obviously, you can win in the FA Cup. You can beat Swindon. You can win. You can get to the third round. You can play Watford. But the league is where it really counts. If you can take your form from the FA Cup into league and get ahead of potentially Torquay and Welling, you know, if results go their way, or at least, you know, go second or level on points at the top, it'll be an unbelievable week for Woking.
Yeah, and obviously a busy Christmas calendar as ever ahead. So it'll be plenty to keep their minds occupied before that game against Watford. But is there already a noticeable buzz around the Woking Town Centre?
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. I think the Woking Football Club have already put out a message saying don't phone us just yet, phone over details. I think a lot of fans straight away the next day were phoning the club to get tickets for the Watford game. And more fans have we seen have already said we're coming back. We're trying to go and get more loyalty points in the next few games to get the Watford tie. So the buzz is already starting to hit around the town on our social media and radio Woking. It's already been incredible. And as it leads up to the FA Cup tie, it's just going to get more and more.
Yeah, then as a supporter then of Woking, which I guess you are, what would you take? A win over Watford to make the fourth round proper of the FA Cup or promotion back to the National League?
Oh, that's a horrible question. I think as a one-off game, I'd say a win over Watford. You can get promoted any year. You don't play Watford that often.
I like your style. Always live on the edge. And there'll always be other things that spin from that win as well. Now, remind everybody where they can hear more about your sport and where they can listen to commentaries and that for Woking FC games.
Yeah, so we are Radio Woking. I'm head of Radio Woking Sports. We broadcast every Saturday a show between 2 till 6. We have live commentary from BBC Surrey going through us of every Woking home and away game. And then we do a pre-match and a post-match build-up and I guess a cool-down of the show. And we have guests on every week to discuss Woking. We have Woking fans on. We're trying to get some players now in the coming weeks to discuss the FA Cup game. And we kind of cover Woking and the teams in the local area.
Yeah, well, Woking obviously have plenty of legends through their history. You know, many are still involved at the football club. But an opportunity for some new Woking legends to be made.
It is, yes. So Tim Bazzaglo scored a hat-trick against West Brom in 1991, I think, in the FA Cup. And everyone still talks about him today. Tim Bazzaglo, his hat-trick against West Brom. Incredible. You know, that's a huge opportunity for a new Woking player, as you say, to step up and him become a legend Woking.
And also put Woking on the map. I know where it is because I was travelled there for many years when I was involved at Hayes and Yedding for our ground share. But it's maybe not the place that everybody immediately puts at the forefront of their mind for a hotbed of football. But there's plenty of clubs and plenty of football played locally away from just Woking FC.
There is, yeah, as well. Woking as a club is hoping to grow, have a new investment. You know, Alan Dowson's just come in. And yeah, it's a club and an area which is continuing to grow with football.
Well, Andrew, it's always fantastic talking to you and hearing. I love talking to people that are involved in community radio and local radio because you actually get to feel the real passion of the people that matter down there. So keep up the good work and, well, hopefully we'll speak to you, in just over a month's time when we're contemplating that fourth round.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic, Tim. Thanks very much.
Now it's the time of week again to head on over to non-league paper towers and catch up with editor Alex Neri this week. Hello Alex, an exciting week in non-league, particularly with a spotlight on non-league due to the FA Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big weekend of the year calendar for non-league clubs and a lot of interest this year with, I think there were six teams on Monday night in the draw or still in the draw for the FA Cup third round. So after the disappointments of last year where there was nobody in the third round, we didn't have one single team in the third round draw. This time around we had six clubs and there were some cracking draws pulled out as well. So yeah, really good times and exciting for the likes of Woking, who have guaranteed a home tie against Watford and Barnet, who are playing away at Sheffield United. There's lots to look forward to.
Yeah, plenty of excitement around the FA Cup, even from fans whose clubs still aren't involved, because it is that non-league camaraderie sort of, and it comes together particularly at the third round because everybody's egging the non-league contingent to go on and get a decent result.
Yeah, exactly, and there's a number of ties that are still to be settled. You've got Wrexham and Newport, you've got Southport and Tranmere. And you've got Solihull and Blackpool. So there are three games there that there are some cracking games awaiting the winners of those games. And the incentive for the likes of Solihull and Southport to land themselves TV games as well. So that's an extra 150 grand in the coffers. So it's a the next couple of weeks are going to be quite emotional for fans of Southport and Solihull. They'll be quite draining as well. Fantastic time of year, and it's just great to have this involvement in the first round of the cup again. It really is.
You mentioned emotion of the fans. Before even one of those big ties started last weekend, we had news of the managerial change at Wrexham.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think it's come as too much of a surprise. Actually, I did actually speak to Sam Ricketts today, and he was adamant that he was wanting to take that game. Of course, the board of directors asked him to step down before the game took place against Newport. They guessed that they figured that with him technically on his way and an approach from Shrewsbury, and he'd obviously requested to speak to them. They'd read between the lines and thought, well, you know what, we might as well take the Newport game without him. But he was adamant he wanted to take that game. And of course, as soon as he didn't take that game, that was 100% it. He was going, and it was confirmed on Sunday morning. So, it's a tough one. I do feel a little bit for Wrexham because that's the second manager in 9 months that they've lost to the Football League. Obviously, Dean Keats going in March to Walsall. Another talented young manager who the fans really looked up to and admired. And they really felt that way about Ricketts. He fitted the club like a glove. It just looked like a really good kind of relationship there. But it's the way it is once a League One or League Two club gets wind of a talented young manager in non-league football in the National League, they're going to come knocking. To be fair, in the case of Sam Ricketts, he was managing Wrexham, which is a former Football League club, in its own right, and so therefore he kind of had the pedigree and the profile that fitted the move to Shrewsbury. So we wish him all the best, but it's pretty tough on Wrexham, I must admit.
Yeah, and obviously, you mentioned there it's tough on them, but good on them for giving an opportunity to a young manager.
In the case of Ricketts.
Wrexham have been unlucky, perhaps, in losing two managers, but they've maybe given opportunities where other clubs might not have.
Well, exactly. And you know what, Tim? We're always crying out for the Championship and for the Football League to take notice of the managerial talent that's down in the National League. And it's almost when these clubs come knocking, because they've taken notice of that obvious talent, there's at times dismay and anger from the fans and board members, because these clubs are coming looking for these guys, but they're coming to get them because of their pedigree, because of what they're doing. They're doing a good job. I think that we can't stand in the way of young managers, and Sam was it young guy who took the reins at Wrexham in the summer and has just done great things there. He's got them playing great football. They were, if I'm being honest with you, last season they were solid but pretty unspectacular. The goals they scored and the amount of games they won 1-0 and the amount of games they couldn't close out when they were winning 1-0, and they ended up drawing them. And that's what cost them the promotion charge last season, and Sam had really kind of sorted that out. He kept them tight at the back and a bit more adventurous going forward. You just hope whoever comes in will pick up the reins and will take it on. They won't be short of good offers, of good names. There are a few guys that made a move in the summer, the likes of John Askey, the likes of Darren McMahon. Darren McMahon made a move last month, obviously left Ebbsfleet, who were out of work and are ready to slot into these roles. And Wrexham is a very, very attractive job for the right person. So, yeah, one door open, Sam Ricketts leaves. We wish him all the best. And as you say, fair play to Wrexham for giving a young guy the chance. He's taken it and he's grabbed it. But somebody else will come along, and it's still very, very early in the season, a long way to go. And, you know, Wrexham can get the right man in there. They can carry on with their promotion charge.
It is sort of, if you were expecting a Christmas card from an out-of-work manager, there's a good chance you probably won't get one, because there's plenty of good jobs and available at the moment. You'd imagine most managers are stiffening up their CV and sending that around. Obviously, we're still waiting to hear on the Hartlepool job as well.
Yeah, I think interviews have been taking place today. I've got Hardy Poole, I think Craig Ignat has gone on the record to say that he's identified a couple of front runners, and they've been interviewing those guys today. So I was speaking to one of my press contacts up at Hartlepool, up at the Northern Echo this morning. Lee Bradbury is the name that's doing most of the rounds. It would appear that Lee is, he has the CV and the character that would be a good fit for that club. He's done a wonderful job at having back-to-back promotions. You would have to say, and I say this with the greatest respect to Haven, that Lee might well have taken that club as far as he can take them. He may well have outgrown them. It's a little bit like Darryl McMahon at Eppsley. And again, I mean, no disrespect. I think Eppsley are a club that can challenge, and they're on the rise again under Gary Hill, and they can challenge for the playoffs and for promotion this season. But I just felt that Darryl had outgrown that job a little bit. He'd taken them on 3 or 4 years ago, taken them to promotion, taken them to the edge of promotion from the National League into the Football League last season. So, there are some good characters out there at the moment doing the rounds who are looking for these jobs. They won't be out of work for long. And same with John Askey, obviously took Macclesfield up last season. I think he would be a really, really good fit at Wrexham. I think if Wrexham are looking to make an appointment, and I mean this with no disrespect, but the phrase I'm going to use here is a sort of steady Eddie. And they're looking for somebody to come in and steady the ship and work with the staff that are already there and work with the infrastructure that's there and the board. So I think John Askew would be a very, very good fit for that as well. And I don't mean that, I'm not being derogatory there. I'm not calling him a steady Eddie. He's just a very calm and assured pair of hands that Wrexham needed at this point in time, because they've just fallen away from the top two a little bit. And as I said earlier, it's still very early in the season, but they've got the cup run, which has taken a lot of their attention. And they've just fallen away a tiny little bit in the National League title race. So get the right man in, get the man in who's going to steady things down, and we'll have an eye for a player, and we'll know the type of player that's needed to be recruited to have a successful promotion chart. John Askey knows all about, and I'm sure Wrexham will have a lot of success. And I'm sure Hartlepool will. Listen, it's this top seven playoff promotion option has opened up. And if you look at where a lot of clubs were this time last season, who made it into that playoff, floating around mid-table at Christmas, there's still a long, long way to go. So Hartlepool, while they've lost 7 games on the spin, they will be looking up rather than down, and they'll be looking at what's in front of them to make a charge up that table. So, it's positive times for both Wrexham and Hartlepool, despite recently losing their managers.
Yeah, and obviously with the managerial changes probably comes a few player changes as well. So it's going to be a busy time over the coming weeks. What about this weekend? What else can we expect to read in the non-league paper, Alex?
We've obviously got all the reactions to Sunday's FA Cup games. We've spoken to Alan Dowson at Woking. I actually also spoke to Martin Tyler at Woking just to get a bit of an interesting take on his role there. As many people will know Martin Tyler as the esteemed football commentator, the award-winning football commentator who kind of soothes you through many a Sunday afternoon on Sky Sports. But he's also a passionate football man and has Woking Football Club very close to his heart, and he works alongside Alan Dowson as one of his coaches. They're very good friends. They go back a long way. So I spoke to Martin today, and I'll have an exclusive interview in the paper with him on Sunday. Just giving us, like I say, it's a little bit of a different take on his role at Woking. And he's very, very keen, I must stress, every time when I spoke to him today, he's very, very keen that Alan Dowson is very much the main man. So all the plaudits for Sunday's win against Swindon very much go to Dowson. But so we've got a lot of reaction from Woking's game. We've got reaction from Barnet as well, and also from Southport's draw against Tranmere. And we'll be looking ahead to the third round. We'll be talking to all the clubs involved in the TV ties. And it's just another bumper week. And you know, we're looking forward to a busy Friday ahead as usual, but that seems to be the way it is.
Do you ever get a Friday off, I ask myself?
No, I don't. I would love to take a Friday off, but at the moment, well, I'll tell you what, it's either go to work or take a Friday off and do Christmas shopping. So I'd rather go to work, if I'm honest with you.
Well, we appreciate all the work you do, Alex. It's been great talking to you again, and appreciate your time, and look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Cheers, Tim. Thanks, mate.
That's it for this week. A big thank you for all of our guests for joining us. A big thank you for everybody for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Tell your friends too that they can find us every week on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Thank you and goodbye.
J-I-B-B-A, J-A-B-B-A.